Reading for this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary. For you, since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress in joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live in a manner, life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that as you saw, I had now here that I still have. May God add a blessing to this, the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth his Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine, while he leads I cannot fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him while life shall last, trusting Him till the earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
The weather has been delightful here lately. It's a September habit, I think, in the Midwest. And I am thankful for it. Although I am unaware that in other places it has been severe, I've been able to take several walks just to be a part of it. And I've noticed the hints of fall color beginning to appear. And I've also noticed that it was warmer in September than it was in August. Sometimes, if you're like me, when you have beautiful days outside and you can go for a walk and you feel pretty good, there is no pain, and everything's paid for, and all are well, seems like it would be pretty nice if we could just live our lives like that all the time without the inconvenience of pain and suffering, which is, of course, worse for some than others, and sometimes worse and sometimes better for most of us. In today's text, Paul speaks of a struggle. And I know that Paul's struggle is very specific to him, and he has defined it in other places. Tells the people in Philippians that they are part of the same struggle. He himself has experienced some hardships that one way or another come to each. And the struggle of death comes around, and sometimes the struggle of hardships, and forces us to deal with life's most pressing questions. And it's a good thing for us to do, even on a beautiful day. What is the meaning of it all? When I was in seminary, we used to have to read a book for our philosophy class, Christian philosophy, called Encountering Evil. I have this distinct memory of one beautiful September day of somebody running out of the door of the seminary and taking that book and throwing it up against the wall and leaving. Because I thought, I feel the same way. I just don't want to deal with that. But it's a broader question than just dealing with pain and suffering. It's, where does meaning come from? Can we find meaning in success or pleasure? Can we find meaning in knowledge or technology? We spend a lot of time pursuing them. Can we find meaning in things like goodness and uprightness? And will we find them in relationships? I always say that. Meaning comes from relationships, but what do we mean by that? Some days I would just rather take a walk in the sunshine. Paul was in prison when he made his suggestive statement, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain," which is a statement about where meaning comes from. On the surface, we may conclude that Paul has just reached the point where he had faced a truth that most of us avoid, at least if you're like me, when we can. And that truth is that heavenly life is better than earthly life, and it is to be preferred. I've probably mentioned this before. It reminds me of the old country music song, Kenny Chesney, so it's not that old, I guess. Turns out it wasn't written by Kenny Chesney. It was written by Jim Collins and Marty Dodson, and I don't know who's to blame for the lyrics. But it expresses a youthful understanding and perhaps a superficial understanding of life. Everybody wants to go to heaven, get their wings and fly around. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. And I've run into that not only in my own life, but I've run into it in the lives of people that I've been the pastor or friends with who will say, I'm not ready. I've got more things to do. I'm enjoying this. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Have a mansion high above the clouds. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. The song is meant to be clever and funny, and it is. But it reveals an attachment to this life that turned out to be understandable, especially on beautiful days. Much of our experience here is wonderful and pleasing and rewarding. And I think most of us, our attitude is that if you've been blessed to come into this life, there are certain experiences that you should have. A lot of times it's fun. And we are attached to it. I think it's true that medical science, and sometimes I think a lot of industrial endeavor, is built around this gospel. That life here is so good, it is to be extended as long as possible. And wherever possible, to be improved. And we spend a great deal of time working on those improvements. That's why Paul is challenging, because clearly Paul does not agree with that philosophy of life. And I suppose we have to take it into consideration that he's in prison when he writes this. But I don't think that's the only factor in his life that he was considering. Paul has concluded that he would like to go now, but he'll stay if he must. Actually, he says he's torn. Instead of a self-centered life bent upon pleasure or fulfillment, Paul claims a Christ-centered life bent on service, and not just mere service for the sake of it, but service to God. This is really interesting. Our understanding is that the letter to the Philippians was written later in Paul's career, closer to the end than it was to the beginning. In some of his earlier letters, we come across the idea that he thought Christ's return would happen in his lifetime. That was a pressing need. But here we seem to see Paul contemplating the possibility that maybe that's not going to take place and he's going to die first. This is a development that is a mature development that was forced on not only people like Paul, but on all of Christians everywhere, just simply by the passage of time. Here we are, 2,000 something years later, almost. Paul's life took on a unique character because he remained when he did. It meant travel. It meant not so much having a home. There are people like that in the world. That may not be the same for you or for me. It also meant that he ran into some problems, and he not only ran into the ordinary everyday problems associated with human life, but also some of the problems he ran into were because of his vocation, because he traveled, because of his calling, his service to the church. That's what it meant for him, to live as Christ, to die as gain. But I wonder what it means for us. If one is a doctor or a teacher or a business person or a farmer, what is to live is Christ. And of course, I mentioned general categories to which we can give general answers. to assist in the healing process, to provide education, to create wealth, to feed the world. I think of farmers because, you know, farmers don't travel much. Some of the farmers in Illinois that I knew hardly ever traveled. They had to be on the farm every day. It's a different life than what Paul led. But I think in the end, we will not be satisfied with answers like that. Because Paul says, if he remains, it will mean for him meaningful work. And that's important. But it's not just meaningful because he was an evangelist or an apostle. It's meaningful because for Paul, even that meant something much more specific. And I think it means something much more specific for each of us to live as Christ. We can concede the point about to die as gain, and maybe for each one of us, sooner or later in our life, that becomes real, where we are torn like Paul. It's fair to say that the depths of Paul's understanding that drove him to say this have been impacted by his imprisonment and other experiences, which means for him, we're taken back to that struggle that he mentions. The kind of hardship. And maybe his hardship and struggle is not meant to be yours or everyone else's, but we each have our own. Paul's inherited faith taught him well about these struggles. As a matter of fact, to be an Israelite itself, the name Israel, which comes from Jacob's experience at the ford of the river Jabbok, when he wrestled with an angel all night long. And he was almost about to win, and then the angel just sort of touched her. His hip and threw it out of socket, and all of a sudden he was crippled, and he would not let go until he received a blessing, and he was told, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, you shall be called Israel," which means because you have struggled, you have contended with God, and have prevailed. Perhaps it is in this regard that a gospel philosophy of life is more different from that song, the superficial song that some people like to sing. It's a catchy tune about going to heaven, but not now. For Paul, the reason to remain will never be so that he can have more enjoyment of life's experiences, but it is to be engaged. Engaged in a struggle with God and in a struggle for God, engaged in service and sacrifice that leads to salvation. That's interesting because it means that whenever we encounter goodness, whenever we have beautiful days, we can ask our question, to live is Christ, what does that mean for me today? It also means that when we encounter trouble or hardship from any quarter of life, health concerns, natural disaster, sin, strife with neighbors and enemies far and wide, we may not turn away from that trouble, but toward it. Not try to escape it, but face it in the confidence that we meet Christ there. And in that meeting, we find stronger fulfillment and better meaning than in any other way. To live is Christ. And for Paul, as for the rest of the New Testament, and I think for all of us, Christ is Jesus the crucified. The image of Jesus on the cross is always before us. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul comes right out and says, we preach Christ crucified. There's no way around the issues of service and self-sacrifice And Jesus himself becomes the great example of someone whose life was lived as a sacrifice to God. But Paul does not say to live is to sacrifice, or even to live is to serve, for we're good at turning things like that into just another way of self-seeking. And service and sacrifice are not necessarily more meaningful than any other pleasure or form of self-seeking that we might try. To live is Christ. Actually, I think these words make a good prayer. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Not so much a prayer to ask, but one to listen to, because there's always an element of prayer that's listening. And even though Paul obviously is writing a letter to the Philippians that has specific circumstances, he comes out sometimes with these words that have broad and general application. To live is Christ. Listen to that. There are other prayers that we can get from Scripture. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, I pray that I would come to love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength and all my mind. To live is Christ. Is a prayer like that. Listen to it. Listen to it every day. When you listen to it every day, it works on you. What does it mean to me for this day? To live is Christ, as clumsily as I might be saying it, means that in the struggle, that it means in the beauty and the wonder, it means that in the hard times, we do not so much find fulfillment as we meet Christ. We meet God, and in that encounter we are shaped and molded. Wounded, to be sure, but also healed and transformed. So that before we're done, our conclusion will be like Paul's, that as long as it is God's will, we will remain and continue with one another for mutual progress and joy in the faith. Conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of Christ, without fear, until that day, that blessed day when we gain the goal of our salvation, the end of our salvation, which is to be with Christ. And then, the things that come our way are filled with meaning. Because Christ is there. And our work turns into not just work, but meaningful service. And our experiences of the blessings of life become rich and transforming. And when life deals us hardship, it turns into character building. It turns into lessons learned. It turns into a shaping for the kingdom of heaven. To live is Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that whatever our circumstances are, we will find you. Help us to learn to pay attention. Help us to learn to ask. Help us to learn to listen. So that each one would know in our hearts to live is Christ and to die is gain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite you, as we sing our hymn of dedication this morning, to prayerfully consider what it means to live as Christ. As we stand and sing, Number 509, is your life a channel of blessing? Shall we stand together? We ask, O Lord, that as we leave this place, you would go with us wherever we go, that you would be in everything that we do, and that we would meet you there, and that our lives would be enriched by that encounter, and that our world would also be enriched. In Christ, we pray. Amen.